commentary on Luther Tower was presented on the Seminary Profiles program on Saturday, April 16th, over radio station KFUO AM and FM.
Welcome to Concordia Seminary. This is your host, John Fitzer, inviting you to our weekly program, Seminary Profiles. With these words, it has been my privilege to open this radio program on each Saturday at this same time since December 7th, 1963. And on each program, I have had the pleasure of speaking with guests and personalities on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Today, however, I wish to depart from the usual format of interviewing people and say a very special welcome to Concordia Seminary to each of you listeners and to your friends. This particular invitation is for a very special occasion, the dedication of the Luther Tower on Sunday, May 1st at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that you might know just what the Luther Tower at Concordia Seminary is and what the Luther Tower symbolizes, I would this afternoon give a commentary about the tower and information about the historic and momentous events that will take place here at Concordia Seminary on May 1st. A legend, according to Webster's Dictionary, is said to be a story coming down from the past, especially one popularly regarded as historical, although not verifiable. The story of Luther Tower may be compared to a legend with one exception. The facts surrounding the conception and ultimate completion of Luther Tower are both historical and verifiable. When Luther Tower is dedicated as a memorial to the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on May 1st, it will be the first step in the completion of the dream of forefathers more than 40 years ago. The legend begins in the year 1920, at which time plans were in the making for a new site and complex of buildings, which would include the tower for Concordia Seminary in the greater St. Louis area. Prior to this time, classes were held in a single building on South Jefferson Avenue in South St. Louis. With increasing enrollments over the years, something needed to be done, and quickly, if the seminary was to continue training young men for the ministry. And so it was in response to the need for more and better facilities that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod agreed at its convention in 1920 to spend $1 million for a new seminary, and it directed the Board of Control to carry out the Synod's wishes. Plans were put into operation immediately with the acquisition of a 72-acre tract of land in Clayton, Missouri. The estate was a gift from the King of Spain to the Dumont family and was purchased for $2,600 per acre by the Congregations of St. Louis. The architectural firm of Day and Clauder of Philadelphia was engaged, and plans for the new complex of buildings using the collegiate Gothic type of architecture were developed. However, it soon became evident that the original $1 million that Synod had voted to expend to complete construction was not even half the amount that would be needed. In 1923, the building committee once again approached the Synod, and this time recommended a budget of $2.5 million. This sum included the cost of the site, main entrance, tower, chapel, gymnasium, and library. Since such a large sum of money was not immediately forthcoming from the Synod, efforts were made by individual members of the staff on behalf of the seminary to ensure construction of the entire project as planned. Finally, however, it was agreed in the interest of economy that only those buildings essential to the academic training of the students would be completed. Luther Tower, along with the gymnasium and the infirmary, had to be bypassed for the time being. Despite the financial hardships, construction was continued. And on June 13, 1926, the Clayton campus of Concordia Seminary was dedicated to the glory of God. Several new buildings have been added since that time as classroom and dormitory space became scarce. World War II delayed further building, and so each time plans for the tower were once again returned to the vault for safekeeping. A generation has passed since that time. The year is now the late 1950s. This time, the alumni of Concordia Seminary were approached in the hope that, through special gifts of love, completion of the tower would finally be realized. They responded with a gift of almost $300,000, far beyond the dreams of the forefathers who drew up the plans. The original complex of buildings included the 30-foot base for the tower. And all that remained now then was to be completed was the 90-foot addition to this 30-foot base. Approximately 2 years ago, contracts were signed, construction began. Plans called for the tower to house a chapel for private worship and prayer, and a carillon system for which the necessary stresses, cradling, and framing were installed as the tower was built. The original plans for the tower remained unchanged through the years, just as the purpose which our fathers envisioned for it remained the same. The tower was to be a place of worship, meditation, and prayer. It was to be a place of remembrance of all those who have ever served the Synod and who are now with the Lord. Ultimately, the tower was to be a place of beauty and an expression of grateful people for the gift and blessings of the ministry. The fulfillment of this purpose will be realized on May 1st, when the tower is dedicated to the glory of God. The Luther Tower is high, strong, and beautiful. Thus, without another symbol, it affirms that our memory of Martin Luther and his teaching should mean to all who see it the strength and goodness of God in Christ, a bulwark never failing, whom we worship in the beauty of holiness. Much care has been expended to render this meaning explicit and to challenge the attention of the viewer by means of rich symbolism. The original name stone at the base of the tower has, through the years, carried Luther's coat of arms, the cross on the heart, on the rose, and atonement applied to the faith of the Christian at work in his world. The four balconies bear the coats of arms of Luther's cities. Eisleben, on the west side, reminds us of Luther's birth, baptism, and death. Wittenberg, on the south, where Luther taught and wrote. Worms on the east, the place of Luther's memorable confession of faith, and the Erfurt balcony on the north, where Luther studied law and was ordained. In keeping with the hearts of Christian and Lutheran theology, the entire tower has been made into one great affirmation, Te Deum Laudamus, we praise thee, O God. This is the inscription on the new name stone at the base of the tower. At the top of the tower are four shields. Translated, the inscriptions read on the west side, Thee, O God. On the south, We praise. On the east, Thee, the Lord. And on the north, We acknowledge. Smaller decorative stones, interspersed with a variety of crosses, spell out further phrases from the Te Deum Laudamus. Below the principal shields on the west side, we read, Father of an infinite majesty. On the south, Thine adorable true and only Son. On the east, also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And on the north side, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God. The memorial chapel at the base of the tower is a most fitting symbol of that meaning of the tower by which it becomes precious to every member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, namely a memorial to its ministers and pastors. This chapel is a place for meditation and prayer, and will house the books of remembrance containing on one page for each the record of service of deceased servants of the word of this synod. The tower and the chapel thus become a challenge and a reminder for the men in training for the holy ministry, and an impulse for the thanksgiving of all. The floor of the chapel shows the compass, which corresponds to the Great Commission emblazoned on the ceiling, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The granite altar in the center of the chapel has incised on its surface the words in Greek from Romans 10. How are they to hear without a preacher, and how can men preach unless they are sent? The mission windows on the south wall, dedicated already in April 1963, denote the bringing of the gospel to America and throughout the world. a sculptured symbol of the Holy Trinity. The Father is the Ancient of Days, holding the cross on which our Lord hangs, with the Holy Spirit in the form of the sacred dove hovering over the cross, is the focus of devotion in the chapel. A symbol of Pentecostal fire hangs over the altar. As means are provided, mosaic and fresco will depict the phases of the ministry of the gospel, past and present, and sculpture, painting, and tapestry will be employed to amplify the meaning of the ministry. Someday, God willing, a carillon will bring reminders of the faith of the church to the ear as well as the eye. As the Luther Tower stands in the midst of structures bearing the names of founders and servants, new generations of the ministry will say to each other and to their world, "We praise thee, O God." The dedication of Luther Tower on the weekend of May 1st will bring together religious and community leaders, as well as members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from all parts of the United States. And they will converge on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, for the dedication of Luther Tower during this weekend, beginning April 29th to May 2nd. The dedication will mark the tower as a monument of gratitude to God for the 8,000 pastors who have served as God's ministers to the church during the past 127 years. A message of encouragement for everyone to be about that ministry while God still provides time and opportunity will be delivered by the Reverend Oswald C.J. Hoffman, International Lutheran Hour speaker. The present and future worldwide ministry of our church will be symbolized by his presence and his message. Dr. Oliver R. Harms, President of the Synod, representing all the members of that body, will perform the actual rite of dedication on Sunday afternoon, May 1st, starting at 4 p.m. Also participating in this service will be members of the faculties of Concordia Theological Seminary, Springfield, Illinois, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, the District Presidents of Synod, Presidents of the Lutheran Preparatory Schools, theological students, and congregational representatives of all the parishes in Synod. During the ceremony, Dr. Alfred O. Fearbringer, President of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, will set the date stone into place at the base of the tower. This ceremony marks the completion of the original architectural conception of the seminary and takes note of the gifts of thousands of pastors, missionaries, teachers, and friends who made the construction of the tower possible. The books of remembrance, which, when completed, will record biographical data of the lives and ministries of all the pastors who have served the Synod, and it will be dedicated by President Harms. These volumes will be preserved and displayed in the chapel, soon to be completed in the tower, and contain the names of all those pastors now living and at work. But none of the pastors now living will ever see his own page. It will not be written until God has called his work of ministry to a close. Other guests attending the dedication ceremonies include Dr. Richard Jesse of Detroit, Michigan, Ewald Schuttner and Lawrence J. Ruprecht of St. Louis, three members of the original building committee in 1926, and also widows of three other members, Mrs. Eugene Harms and Mrs. Louis Seek of St. Louis, and Mrs. Henry W. Horst of Moline, Illinois. Professor Arthur Vincent, on sabbatical leave this year, whose labors and plans have brought us to this day, will also be present. Prior to the dedicatory service at 3 p.m. and immediately afterward at 6 p.m., Frederick Marriott of Detroit, Michigan, will give carillon concerts. Special music will also be provided by a brass ensemble, the Schola Cantorum, the Concordia Cantata Choir under the direction of Professor Robert Bercht, and the combined bands of Lutheran High School North and South under the baton of Ralph Lee. The dedication observance, which begins on Friday, April 29th, will be climaxed at 4 o'clock on Sunday, May 1st. If you wish further information about the Luther Tower dedication and other festivities of the weekend, please write to the Seminary Relations Department, Office of Seminary Relations, Concordia Seminary, 801 DeMunn Avenue, St. Louis 5, Missouri. Or, if you wish to call Parkview 1-5934, extension 205. That's Parkview 15934, extension 205. Ask for the Office of Seminary Relations, and they will be happy to send you further information about the Luther Tower dedication. Until next week at this same time, when we will be speaking with people about Luther Tower, this is your host, John Fitzer, reminding you that at any time, you are welcome to Concordia Seminary.
The following program was heard on the Seminary Profiles program over radio station KFUO AM and FM on Saturday, April 30th, 1966. Welcome to Concordia Seminary. This is your host, John Fitzer, inviting you to our weekly program, Seminary Profiles, during which time we have the pleasure and privilege of speaking with guests and personalities on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. And on this particular weekend, we have the opportunity to speak with many people who have come to Concordia Seminary's campus to help in the dedication ceremony of the Luther Tower. On Jubilate Sunday, that's tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, you are invited to come here to Concordia Seminary and join the thousands of people who will be assembled at the dedication rite of Luther Tower. The festivities began already yesterday morning. On that Friday morning, at a campus communion service, the Reverend Dr. William H. Cohn, president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, with headquarters in Washington, D.C., had this to say in his sermon as he preached on Matthew 16, 21 to 26 at this service. Dr. Cohn said,
Christ said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The tower can be that kind of symbolism. It stands chaste and clean, bespeaks power and strength, it stands tall. The majesty of God. And yet within its heart, a chapel, a cross, a memorialized ministry, Gospel of Jesus Christ. You, dear friends, be like the tower. In your world and in your heart, stand tall.
With these words preached by the Reverend Dr. William H. Cohn of Washington, D.C., the festivities of the Luther Tower dedication began yesterday morning. At noon yesterday, a press conference was held for many members of the press, radio, and television here in St. Louis. And after a delightful lunch, these people followed Mr. Robert Gruno, public relations man here at Concordia Seminary, to the top of Luther Tower. We took our portable microphone with us, and there at the top of the tower, we asked Dr. Cohn his reaction now that he has seen the completion of the Luther Tower, which 42 years ago was just a dream. You have, Dr. Cohn.
Well, I think the campus has come a long way since I went to school here, which is a little over 25 years ago. We often recall talking about the tower, but never expecting it to be built.
Among other people who were with us at the top of Luther Tower yesterday was Mr. Sterling Harkins, a radio and TV personality of KSD Radio and TV. We asked Mr. Harkins his reaction to the completion of Luther Tower. Mr. Harkins said,
the thing that surprised me, I think most of all, is the fact that the tower looks like it has been here all along. It seems to belong, seems to be a part of it. I don't know how long it's actually been in process of building, but the way it is now, it just seems as though it was here since the very beginning of the campus. That certainly is a wonderful observation, particularly to those of us who know that 2 years ago was the beginning of the erection of this tower, and now, as you say, as you look at its completion, it looks as though it has been standing here for 42 years, as long as the rest of the building has.
Well, the things that we've seen today make me feel that this is just the beginning. The new chapel, the various other projects seem to fit so well that I can't see how you could possibly miss in getting them completed the way this tower has been completed.
That was Mr. Sterling Harkins, one of our guests at the top of Luther Tower, who gave his reaction to the beautiful blending of the architecture of this tower and the rest of the buildings here on the campus of Concordia Seminary. In speaking about the future, he was very much impressed about the plans for Concordia Seminary and Concordia Seminary's business manager, Mr. William Cratel, who has been associated here on the campus at Concordia Seminary for the past 25 years, had this to say about the future.
Concerning the future, of course, I should mention the chapel as being our biggest challenge. We've worked already for several years. In fact, it was, I think, in 1962 when Mr. Gio Obata was named our architect for it. So we have quite a bit of experience with it. We think it's a very exciting plan, and it's just a matter of time, and I'm sure we'll see it develop just as we have seen the completion now of our Luther Tower.
Looking ahead now and thinking about the erection of the next big building project here on the campus of Concordia Seminary, the building of the chapel, we asked Mr. Crato if there was a target date for the chapel to be completed. Mr. Crato said,
While I wish I could give you a target date, I would like to say I hope I can see the beginning date. Originally, our beginning date would have been in 1967. It's just a year from now, I realize. However, the question of finances, we can't predict that. But Lord willing, I do believe we probably can begin, let's say, at least in 1968, if we can't make it in 67. And then I would imagine it would take at least 2 years for the completion of it. So let's say, join me here in 1970, and we'll have a grand dedication of our new chapel.
Real fine. And so for those of you people who are coming to Concordia Seminary tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock for the dedication of the Luther Tower, at which place we're standing now, Mr. Crato, our business manager, invites you to come back again in 4 years for the dedication of our chapel. What is the name of the chapel?
Chapel of the Holy Trinity.
Bye.
Another welcome guest to our campus this weekend is Dr. Jean Labatie, who is professor of architecture at Princeton University at Princeton, New Jersey. Dr. Labatie, for the past 8 years, has been consulting architect here at Concordia Seminary and has helped plan the projected view of the seminary. We asked Dr. Labatie about the lighting of the new Luther Tower. Dr. Labatie had this to say about the unusual lighting of the Luther Tower.
Thinking in terms of illumination, I want to avoid the floodlighting of a tower as it is done when you have an original Gothic tower in Europe, which were built before the electricity was invented. So today, the type of illumination we can have come from what we can have in terms of technique of illumination by night. And as a result, by putting those balconies as a container for the light sources, it was possible to express the Gothic shape of the entire opening for itself without thinking in terms of the total floodlighting of the tower, which at that time become an object in space, when in this case you have a floating Gothic opening in the darkness of the night, which give much more the sensation of height and greatness than if you had a complete floodlighting of the total tower, which will appear smaller than the next apartment building nearby.
And that was Dr. Jean Labatie of Princeton University speaking about the unusual illumination of the Luther Tower. Next, we saw Dr. Richard R. Kemmerer, whose faculty office
overlooks the quadrangle here at Concordia Seminary, and which office has been immortalized through a well-known column, A Window Toward the Quad. We asked Dr. Kemmerer about his office and also its proximity to the tower. Dr. Kemmerer said,
"Well, I was a student in that room 39 years ago, and then when I came on the staff 12 years later, that became my office."
And so you've been using that room for
a long, long time. That's 20 feet away from the tower.
And for a long time, that was about the highest point. Now, how do you feel that the tower has gone up 80 feet beyond you?
Well, I wrote one piece, one of these Window Toward the Quad articles.
Yes.
I said I would look out of my window, and here were men looking up at my window, and how proud I was. And then I realized they weren't looking at the window at all. They were looking at the tower.
We then asked Dr. Kemmerer to comment on the significance on the completion of the Luther Tower. Dr. Kemmerer said,
"The real answer to prayer, I think that a lot of the contemporary people, the current generation, doesn't quite appreciate yet, I think they will, what this means to us. Because we, I think, always sense the incompleteness of this campus and the fact that we had a very jewel-like setting, but something missing. And this really pulls it together."
The Chapel of the Holy Apostles is at the base of the tower, and it's a most fitting symbol of that meaning of the tower by which it becomes precious to every member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Yesterday, as members of the press and the mass media were taking a tour of Luther Tower, they heard the president of Concordia Seminary, Dr. Alfred O. Fearbringer, speak these words in this Chapel of the Holy Apostles. Dr. Fearbringer said,
"This window, the east window, is the window dedicated to the Trinity. The glass itself, of course, merely full of symbols. And then this sculpture is the one that was completed by Mr. Stevenson. An old medieval concept, the Father holding the crucified Son, and then the Spirit descending from above. But I think he worked it out very, very well. And it's amazing to me how much depth he got out of this small space of a few inches that he had to work with. So it was made especially for this window. The south window is what we call the mission window. The Lord in the center is the one who was sent by the Father. And then the Apostle Paul, who worked in the Roman Empire, so what we call home missions. And then the Apostle Thomas on the right-hand side, who worked traditionally, as reported as having gone all the way down to India, so the idea of foreign mission. And these names and symbols signify some of the most important missionaries in the history of the church, particularly the Lutheran Church, and the symbols, the countries in which the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is active, has founded sister churches."
The chapel is a place for meditation and prayer, and will house the books of remembrances containing, on one page for each, the record of service of deceased servants of the word of this synod. Speaking about this, Dr. Fearbringer said,
"And these cabinets here will have two, and each one will have some of the memorial books on, in which will give the biographies of all of the ministers that have served in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and that have died. So that we're taking them by the year of their death. We have three volumes completed so far, about 300 to a volume, you see, so that's about 900. We still have about more than 7,000 to go. You see, so we'll have close to 30 volumes about that time, by the time we get finished."
The tower and the chapel thus become a challenge and a reminder for the men in training for the holy ministry, and an impulse for the thanksgiving of all. You, our listeners, are invited to join us in this Thanksgiving weekend, this weekend during which we dedicate Luther Tower, by participating in the various events. Tonight, for example, three plays will be presented in the auditorium here at Concordia Seminary. They begin at 8:30. You, the listeners, are invited to attend. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, a carillon concert will be given at the Luther Statue Concourse, followed by chorales played by a brass band at 3:45. Then at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, that Sunday, May 1st, you are invited to the Luther Tower dedication service at which time the sermon will be preached by the Reverend Oswald C.J. Huffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. Tomorrow evening, you are invited to attend the annual Concordia Seminary Chorus, conducted by Dr. William H. Heine, at the Field House here at Concordia Seminary. The public is cordially invited to attend this concert. And then on Monday evening, here at Concordia Seminary, in the Chapel Auditorium, the premier performance of the St. Louis Cantata by John Bender will be presented by the Concordia Cantata Chorus and Wind Ensemble. Robert Barrett is the director of this Concordia Cantata Chorus. Again, the public is invited. That's Monday evening, 8:15 in the Seminary Chapel Auditorium. And now we invite you to participate in all of the activities this weekend of the dedication of Luther Tower. And this is your host, John Fitzer, inviting you to tune in again next week when on Seminary Profiles we say, welcome to Concordia Seminary.
The following is a dubbing of various portions of conversation and discussion held on Friday, April 29th, when Concordia Seminary's Public Relations Department, with Mr. Robert Gruneau and the president of the seminary, Dr. Alfred O. Fearbringer, entertained members of the radio and press and other mass media here on the campus of Concordia Seminary. Mr. Gruneau is speaking.
And Dr. Fearbringer is really the spirit behind it, and together with one of his professors, Professor Vincent, who will also be here over the weekend, they went to the clergy of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, some 6,000 men spread throughout the world. And over the last 6 years now, gifts in varying amounts, some of only a dollar and some as large as $15,000, have come in from clergymen and friends. Maybe the 15,000 is from a friend. But a total of almost $300,000 was raised for this tower. And it was all in the bank before they started to build it. This is one thing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod demands of us. And now you see the result of it, and I hope later on we'll have a chance to actually go up into the tower and see the tremendous construction. This is, however, just one of the things that we hope to have on this campus. The one before this was the library, which is the Ludwig Fearbringer Hall containing the library, and we will spend a few minutes in there after our lunch. We will also show you the master plan of the future of the campus. And our next big project, the one that we would like to more or less unveil to you today, is something that we've been dreaming about for 127 years. The tower is a worship center. In all this history, we have never had a place where we can worship God, exclusively used for the worship of our God. And so we're really excited about this. This is by the Japanese architect Obata, and I think you'll be thrilled with it. I would like you at this time to have the opportunity to ask questions of any individual. We have, of course, Dr. Fearbringer, who knows absolutely everything. He's not only the philosophy behind it, but all the future dreams and plans of our seminary. We have Jean Labate from Princeton, who's been our consultant for the past 8 years now and has given us wonderful counsel. That's why we keep him on, I guess, because we're so thrilled and thankful for his fine counsel and guidance. And Professor Hoyer in charge of this weekend's activity. So if any of you have any questions, I'd appreciate very much if you would ask them. Charlie, you have something to start off with?
What is the status of the tower now as it stands? Is paid for this $300 was $300,000 was adequate to pay for this.
Mr. Credo, the business manager, you sent me a note this morning that
but to answer the question, though, we could put it this way. The answer is yes, we have the money to pay for it. The reason I sent the note to Bob was to sort of egg him on a little bit. We're putting in a memorial chapel on the main floor. I don't know if some of you had a chance to peek in there. I'd certainly like to ask you to do that if you're able to. It's a beautiful memorial chapel, but there are a few appointments we still would like to get in there, and I was trying to tell Bob to let's get a little more money for those appointments like mosaic wall or whatever else you want to call it.
Later, in speaking about Luther Tower and the proposed Carolines, Mr. Credo said this in answer to the question how the large Caroline bells would be placed into the tower.
Tower, there's a sort of a cellar door arrangement at the very top. Just opens up, see? And it can be hoisted up and left down through there.
7 by 7.
That's right.
Hole in the top that the fathers.
7 feet. Right?
That's right.
7 feet by 7 feet. Planned by the fathers. Actually, the towers, the architecture of it was done back 42 years ago, and all we did was added some balconies for modern lighting.
Well, with the change that's seen in Winnicott Hall and so forth, it seems that you're going for smaller classrooms now rather than the large school.
That's right, sir. That's right.
Yeah, that shows the change in the 40 years. At that time, they put in 8 classrooms, seating anywhere from 60 to 84 students. And the idea was to lessen the size of the class. And when we had 150 students, I was divided into 2 groups of 75, and everybody thought that there were 9 seats. But in such courses, the skill courses, especially homiletics or worship, we bring that down to groups of 15, and it's about the largest class in one. Here we could explain a little bit about the chapel, and then it may be simpler than saying problem which we pose to the architects is that we have 3 sizes of congregation. That is our morning worship, as we call it, in the morning devotions at 10:30. We'll have an attendance of anywhere between 450 to 600 or so. And then in the evening devotions, of course, where many students are out working and married students are at home, we'll have perhaps 200 to 250, sometimes up to 300. And then there's a growing number of occasions where we have congregations of 800 to 1,000 or so. So we asked the architect to design a chapel which is suitable for worship and where the sacrament also can be administered very readily and easily, but where the small congregation will not leave an empty church and the largest congregation will not overcrowd the facility. So he designed this. The floor plan looks somewhat like a three-leaf clover with the central altar, and I think it's a marvelous solution that he's found for it. It's really quite functional, and at the same time, I think it's very beautiful. Mr. Obata likes to work in geometric forms. Now, you've noticed perhaps here the planetarium is. What is the form he uses there? This curve.
Paraboloid?
Yeah, paraboloid. And then same at the priory out there. And then at Temple Israel, he has hexagons that he put together to build a thing. And here he uses, interesting too, the same curve as the St. Louis arch, the gateway arch, only it's inverted, the catenary curve. And see, the arch it stands up, and here the roof lines come down that way.
And the campus will let go, Dr.
That'll be where the little log cabin is now. It'll be the highest point on the campus. The log cabin belongs to the Court of Ministry, that is the new door. And then the library and the tower and the chapel will go form a triangle.
It was at this point that the members of the press and mass media went to the library, and together with Professor Gruno and Dr. Fearbringer, observed the chapel and the planned program or expansion for Concordia Seminary. Dr. Jean Labatie
was speaking when we turned our microphone on and eavesdropped what he was talking about, the chapel.
So a Gothic tower to be so abrupt, that which is a wonderful solution. By contrast, even with a tower done by Mr. Claude, also in Princeton, which was just the opposite, all the tower, which continued by pinnacles on its side. And I will say that that composition of the nunc, the chapel, by contrast with the present tower, will be one of the most interesting elements on the campus. I would like to add that one of the most interesting situations was having known myself, Mr. Claude, and I will say putting him even far above Mr. Kram in terms of being able to play with the Gothic vocabulary in a so free way, when he was really not one of the best, but the best of that period. Starting from Violetti to Claude, I will put Claude at the head of the group, which for over a century, or one century, used the Gothic vocabulary in architecture, and Mr. Claude was really a master of that, because instead to take a book and copy Gothic elements, he was creating Gothic elements at the scale of the program with which he was confronted. When many authors need a book in order to be sure they are doing Gothic, and automatically their gesture becomes a little bit automatic and imitative. I don't want to talk too long because that's the I apologize for so long. Harmony between the two elements, in spite of the contrast in, I would say, the style. The shape, the form, the material can be, and the scale can be very much at the scale of what you have already on the canvas.
Harmony by contrast.
Harmony by contrast. Absolutely what I've been quoting.
There will be a first vista for a few hundred feet when you come in to have that impression, which will be quite a contrast because of the wood and so on. You will give the impression that the impression will be that you go into an open landscape in a real campus in the country. You have much as possible other than to give the impression of an urban character. From here, it will be more of a rural character, or a park character.
From here, through the trees, you will not see the tower here at all, but you will see the new chapel and the Luther Tower. So that will be the two focal points in that open landscape through the trees. In other words, you will forget when you are in an urban area at that point. Then after that, you may, according to one plan or another, either we will come this way or we will come around this way. But that is not set.
On this Friday, before the dedication of the Luther Tower, the group of people from the mass media then assembled in the Chapel of the Holy Apostles. We hear Professor Gruno asking Dr. Furbringer to say something about the chapel in which all of them were at that time.
I'd ask Dr. Furbringer to say a few things about the chapel in which you are.
Well, to begin, the floor is a very colored marble, and this is a mariner's compass showing that our graduates go through all the parts of the world. And of course, the altar, the black granite, the text of the Bible, how shall they believe except they hear, and how shall they preach except they be sent, you see. And then, of course, the furnishings explain themselves. This window, the east window, is the window dedicated to the Trinity. The glass itself, of course, made it full of symbols. And then this sculpture is the one that was just completed by Mr. Stevenson. An old medieval concept, the father holding the crucified son and then the spirit descending from above. But I think he worked it out very, very well. And it's amazing to me how much depth he got out of this small space of a few inches that he had to work with. So it was made especially for this window. The south window is what we call the mission window. The Lord in the center, he is the one who was sent by the Father. And then the Apostle Paul, who worked in the Roman Empire, so what we call home missions. And then the Apostle Thomas on the right-hand side, who worked traditionally, reported as having gone all the way down to India, so the idea of foreign missions. And these names and symbols signify some of the most important missionaries in the history of the church, particularly the Lutheran church, and the symbols, the countries in which the Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, is active, has founded sister churches. Then the light fixture here, it shows the descent of the Spirit, the sevenfold, these are flames, signify flames, the sevenfold Spirit coming down, of course, pointing directly to Christ as the cornerstone of the church. We hope then eventually to get paintings or mosaics around the walls showing the history of the ministry.
You want to say something about the memorial?
Yeah.
Board?
And in these cabinets here, we'll have two. In each one, we'll have some of the memorial books, in which we'll give the biographies of all of the ministers that have served in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and that have died. So that we're taking them by the year of their death. We have three volumes completed so far, about 300 to a volume, you see, so that's about 900. We still have about more than 7,000 to go, you see, so we'll have close to 30 volumes about that time, by the time we get finished. And that, of course, is very interesting, too, because as you go through the pages, I remember when I picked up the one book, a young fellow named Beardsley, who had just about four lines. He was in office less than 1 year and he died, you see. And the next one was a fellow named Bartos, who had his whole page, it was filled with all the offices that he held and all the positions that he occupied. So that's the way it goes from one to the other.
Now, just before ascending the Luther Tower through the spiral staircase, Professor Gruno is giving some of the statistics.
After the building, the men told me that every foot that they went out here, they used 5 tons of material. That sounds an awful lot. 5 tons of material for every foot in this area. The walls here in certain places are 9 feet thick. And in this wall here, there is a spiral staircase, and if your heart stands it, we'd like you to go up it, and especially notice the beautiful stonework curved and chipped out. This is why it took almost 2 years to build this. The workmanship is just tremendous, outstanding. And as you go up, also notice the stonework. So those brave hearts.
Pastor William Cohen was the speaker on Friday morning at the campus communion service, and at the moment, Pastor Cohen is with me and some others at the top of Luther Tower. You've been having a tour of the campus, and particularly now of the tower. What are some reactions that you have, Dr. Cohen?
Well, I think the campus has come a long way since I went to school here, which is a little over 25 years ago. We often recall talking about the tower, but never expecting it to be built.
And now that it is realized, of course, it probably is beyond your expectations. And, of course, we praise God that it is to glorify the ministry that you are. Nearly 2 dozen people of the mass media of the St. Louis area have been on the campus of Concordia Seminary. They've been shown the campus and now are at the top of the Luther Tower. One of these is Mr. James Culp, a writer for the Alton Evening Telegraph. Mr. Culp, you have been on our campus several times. What is your reaction now, being here at the top of the tower?
Very impressive. Bigger than anything we have in Alton.
Yes, I imagine it is bigger than you have at Alton. What is your position with the Alton Evening Telegraph?
I'm a reporter.
You're a reporter, and what has been the occasion for your having been here to Concordia Seminary before?
I've interviewed some professors for our religion page, which was published on Saturday.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. James Culp of Alton, Illinois, for being our guest here at Concordia Seminary.
Another one of the people in the mass media who are visitors here at Concordia Seminary today is Mr. Sterling Harkins of KSD Radio and TV. Mr. Harkins, you are now at the top of the Luther Tower. What are some of the reactions that you have had after the long climb up here and seeing our campus and the long-range program of our campus?
The thing that surprised me, I think, most of all, is the fact that the tower looks like it has been here all along. It seems to belong. It seems to be a part of it. I don't know how long it's actually been in process of building, but the way it is now, it just seems as though it was here since the very beginning of the campus.
That certainly is a wonderful observation, particularly to those of us who know that 2 years ago was the beginning of the erection of this tower, and now, as you say, as you look at its completion, it looks as though it has been standing here for 42 years, as long as the rest of the building has.
Well, the things that we've seen today make me feel that this is just the beginning. The new chapel, the various other projects seem to fit so well that I can't see how you could possibly miss in getting them completed the way this tower has been completed.
Well, we certainly appreciate your comments on the Luther Tower, as well as on the projection as Concordia Seminary looks at the future. We thank Mr. Sterling Harkins for his comments. One of the men who is the guest on Concordia Seminary's campus this week is Dr. Jean Labate.
Jean. Jean is the creative confusion. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I sent a telegram to Dr. A.R. Kressman, you know?
Yes, from Chicago.
From Chicago. And the Western Union did quite a very, very precise action by saying, calling by telephone, and the secretary of Dr. Kessman answered and said, I have a telegram, the Western Union has a telegram from Jean Labate. And for the Western Union, that was a girl. So when the secretary asked, can you give me a telegram? And the girl in the Western Union answered, oh no, it is personal. So he said, all right, call him home. And it was, and Mrs. Kressman answered. And she received the same answer. It is a personal telegram.
From
Jean. So the following, so I told Dr. Kressman, I said, all right, the next time I will find Labatu, that's all.
Very interesting, very interesting.
Can you imagine the Western Union being mixed up with that kind of a situation? No, but the point is that, my name is Labatu.
Labatu.
L-A-B-A-T-U-T.
Yeah.
And actually with the, it is difficult, the U is very difficult, so it is pronounced Labatat or Labatut.
Yeah. Dr. Jean Labate, professor of, what is your
I am professor of architecture and director of the graduate studies in architecture at Princeton.
And you have been a consultant here at Concordia Seminary for the past seven or eight years.
Yes. And Valparaiso before, and I am still a consultant with Valparaiso.
Yes. As you see the progress of Concordia Seminary in these past 7 or 8 years, Dr. Labate, what is your reaction now? For instance, today we see the erection or the completion of
Since I came, the library was not there.
That's right.
And then it was a question, the two dormitories, the tennis courts, the development there, with the parkings all along.
This last interview with Dr. Jean Labate.
Dr. Jean Labate, professor of, what is your
I am professor of architecture and director of the graduate studies in architecture at Princeton.
And you have been a consultant here at Concordia Seminary for the past seven or eight years.
Yes. And Valparaiso before, and I am still a consultant with Valparaiso.
Yes. As you see the progress of Concordia Seminary in these past 7 or 8 years, Dr. Labate, what is your reaction now? For instance, today we see the erection or the completion of
Since I came, the library was not there.
That's right.
And then it was a question, the two dormitories, the tennis courts,
development there, with the parkings all along the tennis court, and then the decisions about the scale of the tower here with the illumination and so on. I mean, all things which naturally took always more time than expected due to the delay of decisions, money, and so on. I mean, that is, right now, what will delay the most the new chapel will be probably the financial side of it.
Dr. Lavatee, where does this little slogan of yours, harmony through contrast, originate?
Harmony by contrast.
Yes.
Oh. Thousands of years. But it was not used with those words. But yeah. The men, the craftsmen, the artisans, practiced that harmony by contrast since the beginning. As a matter of fact, if you take even in the process of color harmony, you can have harmony by taking the color from the same side of the rainbow, or you can play with two colors which are opposite to each other. Complementary color.
They complement.
They complement by contrast.
Yeah.
Not by similitude. So there you are. See, we have that. We can pick the thing up in nature.
Very good. One of the visitors here today is really not a visitor in as much as he is our business manager, Mr. William Crato. Mr. Crato, you've been on the campus for quite a few years now and have seen it grow. What are some of the things that you have seen, let us just say, in the last 10 years, and what do you foresee in the next 10 years? Mr. William Crato.
Before I give an answer to that question, I'd like to say that I'm looking out of the window and I can see the arch at the riverfront in St. Louis. It is not a very clear day, so it's a bit hazy. I can't see it too clearly, but it's there. It's very easily discernible. Concerning the future, of course, I probably should mention the chapel as being our biggest challenge. We've worked already for several years. In fact, it was, I think, in 1962 when Mr. Gio Obata was named our architect for it. So we have quite a bit of experience with it. We think it's a very exciting plan, and it's just a matter of time, and I'm sure we'll see it develop just as we have seen the completion now of our Luther Tower. And John, I should say that I have completed now 25 years on the campus, and I'm quite proud of that, and I hope I have many more years here.
Well, congratulations to you, Mr. Crato. We know that in these 25 years, you've seen considerable growth, and we certainly ask God's blessings on the future years that you have here at Concordia Seminary. By the way, is there a target date for the completion of the seminary chapel?
No, I'd rather, while I wish I could give you a target date, I would like to say I hope I can see the beginning date. Originally, our beginning date would have been in 1967. It's just a year from now, I realize. However, the question of finances, we can't predict that. But Lord willing, I do believe we probably can begin, let's say, at least in 1968, if we can't make it in 67. And then I would imagine it would take at least 2 years for the completion of it. So let's say, join me here in 1970, and we'll have a grand dedication of our new chapel.
Real fine. And so for those of you people who are coming to Concordia Seminary tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock for the dedication of the Luther Tower, at which place we're standing now, Mr. Crato, our business manager, invites you to come back again in 4 years for the dedication of our chapel. What is the name of the chapel?
Chapel of the Holy Trinity.
Fine. Thank you, Dr. Lavatee and Mr. Crato.
I'd also say if you listen to the broadcast tomorrow, the name of our new memorial chapel, which is on the ground floor of this tower, wonderful tower, will be named. I don't believe I should take the advantage on others and say what it will be. A most dignified, glorious name.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crato. And while we're standing here at the top of the Luther Tower, which is going to be dedicated tomorrow, a number of men have come up to the tower to complete some of the work that they've been working on for quite some time. Let me ask this man's name, please.
Frank Fahey.
And Frank, how long have you been working here at the Luther Tower?
Oh, approximately 7 months ago.
Now, what has been your particular task?
Installation of your quarry work.
Does this quarry work, the stone for the tower come from nearby?
Well, the stone I have nothing to do with. What
no.
I'm talking about is the quarry tile here. Oh. Standing on.
Oh, I see.
Stone work, somebody.
I see. So actually, you didn't work with a stone center
no,
then?
No.
Uh-huh. And what was the type of work then that you had to do?
Actually, installation of your quarry tile in the tower itself.
The quarry tile in the tower.
Yes, mm-hmm. In this tower and your parapet above here.
And did you go all the way up to the top too?
Oh, yes. And also your outlining parapets here as well as out there where your lights are.
Uh-huh. So that when you got out onto the little balconies just outside of where we are standing here, why, you were about 80 feet up above the ground. Does that bother you to work up so high?
Well, you just have to pray a little bit more, that's all.
All right. And so we had no accidents here, by the way, at the completion of this Luther Tower, and we're very grateful to God. As you and I look out over out of this window now across to the north from the Luther Tower, we can see the towers of Washington University with their flags flying high, and the buildings of Washington University, the City Hall at the University City, and many buildings far to the north of us.
Beautiful thing. Now, he is a tall man. He could be more informed.
All right. One of the other workers here on the campus is, tell us your name, please.
Richard Bernal.
And Mr. Bernal, you have been working here at the tower for how long?
About 7 months, the same as Frank.
And what has been your particular task here in helping with the tower?
Same thing, putting in this quarry tile floor.
Why was it such a difficult job, or was it not a difficult job?
No, it wasn't too difficult for us, so our part of it. The main thing was getting the material up there.
How did the material get up here? When you see all of these little pieces of tile, why, that was quite a bit to bring up this height.
Well, we brought it up on a hoist, and
you didn't have to come up this winding staircase that we just walked up a little bit ago.
Oh, with some of it we did.
Some of it you did that.
Uh-huh.
What is the next project now that you will go on to, do you know?
Oh, we're going to try to finish up the stadium downtown.
Well, that'll be good. A week from tomorrow is the dedication of the stadium. And, of course, just like here at the tower, there's finishing jobs to be done even after it has been dedicated. And then from there, where do you go?
We don't know yet.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks very much. Your name again was?
Richard Bernal.
Richard Bernal and?
Frank Fahey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bernal and Mr. Fahey.
Thank you.
One of the men who's been working here on the campus for quite a few years is Mr. Anderson. And you've been working below the tower here in the building. You've been seeing it to its completion. What's some of the reaction that you have now that we are at the dedication of the Luther Tower?
Well, it's a nice looking tower.
You were going to
say and I do know that you can see it for a good distance. I can see from Lucas and Hunt Road and St. Charles Rock Road.
Is that right? How far away would you say that is?
No, I guess that must be around about 3.5 miles.
Have you been up to the top of the tower yet?
Not yet.
I was just up there. I was just up there, and you can see all the way down to the arch.
Well, as high as I've got is this first man where the old roof was.
Oh. Okay, thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Yes.
By telling a switch?
No, it's
electric eye?
Dusk to dawn.
Electric.
No, dusk to dawn, automatic.
Get away from in other words, when the light come, it's still there, but then when twilight comes, nobody can
automatically
see. Nobody can see when the manufacturer illumination starts.
That's correct. It automatically goes on and automatically goes
very
off
good,
immediately.
Very good.
All the
flutter composition.
Yes.
And then to go into something completely of today.
Yeah.
And even introducing the today in the process of illumination.
Yes, that's right.
With those balconies.
But, of course, the old fundamental principle is still really coming to light, that you had to have a vertical thing with all of these horizontal lines.
Right.
All of a sudden, all the horizontal lines mean
the
something.
The idea of a tower is still part of
suddenly
the
suddenly they all mean something. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. What will be the Piazza San Marco in Venezia without the tower?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what's exciting about this.
Dr. Kimmer, did you see the piece of sculpture that Severson did
for our
memorial chapel?
Oh, the chapel is grand. The chapel
tremendous.
Is very fine.
To me, that piece of sculpture is not a job. It is a masterpiece.
That's an masterpiece.
A masterpiece.
That's right. Well, and the whole chapel. I think of my colleague Peep Corn that dreamed over what all should happen in that little chapel, and it's been executed now. His first, he has three stages. This is the first stage. It's just very lovely.
Doctor.
Well, good to see you. How long will you be here?
Well, tomorrow, after tomorrow.
Sunday.
Be here yet Sunday?
Sunday?
Oh, will you? Oh, good.
Yeah. That's fine.
Thank
That's
you,
fine.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Let me get you just a moment.
Dr. Richard Kimmerer, Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Seminary, and who has had an office here in the quadrangle at Concordia Seminary. I imagine most of the time that you've been a professor here, Dr. Kimmerer, you have written a
an article or a column for the local or for the seminary publications called A Window Toward the Quad. How long have you had that office there?
Well, I was a student in that room 39 years ago. And then when I came on the staff 12 years afterward, later, that became my office.
And so you've been using that room for
that room for a long, long time. That's 20 feet away from the tower.
And for a long time, that was about the highest point. Now, how do you feel that the tower has gone up 80 feet beyond you?
Well, I wrote one piece, one of these Window Toward the Quad articles.
Yes.
I said I would look out of my window, and here were men looking up at my window, how proud I was. And then I realized they weren't looking at the window at all. They were looking at the tower.
Very interesting. What is your reaction now, Dr. Kimmerer, that the dedication time for the tower?